Hello everyone, I'm Kim and I'll be doing our Bible readings this afternoon. The first one, we have two today. The first one you can find on page 16 of your booklet, and it's Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 to 7. So page 16. For a child will be born for us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. The dominion will be vast and its prosperity will never end. He will reign on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish and sustain it with justice and righteousness from now on and forever. The zeal of the Lord of Armies will accomplish this. And our second reading is from Luke. It's not in your booklet, so you'll just have to listen along. It's Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 33. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the town in Galilee called Nazareth, to the virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favoured woman, the Lord is with you." But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Then the angel told her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever."
Good evening, everybody. My name is Nathan. I come here to Pitt Town Church, and it's great to see you this afternoon, evening, whatever you want to call it. We're going to think about that first Bible passage for a little bit together, and so I want to ask God's help as we do that. So I'm going to lead us in prayer. Please pray with me. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would give all of us understanding to what the Bible says, and you would help me to speak faithfully. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. It's hard to have peace at Christmas. We get told that Christmas is a time of great peace and of joy and of relaxation. We go to the shops and we hear carols about joy and about peace. And sometimes we even sing along when we come to places like this. We're told that Christmas is a time for family and friends and relaxation. It's a time for holidays. It's when, you know, you wrap up work for the year, and for a couple of weeks it feels like you're on top of things before you go back and start it all again. Christmas is a time that's supposed to be one of great peace. And yet at the same time, peace is really hard to find this time of year, because it feels like everything is amplified in life. It feels like the volume is turned up. The shops are manic. If you haven't been there, then you'll see when you get there. The roads are a nightmare nearly everywhere you go. You've got a million places to be. Your calendar is full. Sometimes it feels like you go to bed at night just to wake up and keep on going to the next thing that you've got to go to. You've got so many events to keep track of, and it can be hard to find peace at Christmas. And then on top of that, there's this added spiritual Christian layer when it comes to this time of year. There's the Jesus thing as well. Like, what are you supposed to make of Christmas and the birth of Jesus? And whether you're here this evening and you're inside the circle of faith and you call yourself a Christian, or whether you're outside and you're looking in and you're checking it all out, it can be hard to know what to do with the birth of Jesus. Why is it so important? And it can be easy to even feel guilty for not being so excited about this thing that everyone at church is talking about, the birth of Jesus. That you're not so excited about celebrating it, perhaps you don't know what it means. Maybe you got dragged here by a friend or a family member. You might not even really know what we're celebrating at all. And so there can be this added layer of stress on top of everything else. This afternoon, I just want to look at that prophecy that Kim read out, the first one from Isaiah, and I want to It's a prophecy that lifts the lid on the meaning of Christmas. It tells us what Christmas is about. What is it that makes the birth of Jesus such a big deal that people talk about it constantly at Christmas? If you have your green booklet there, it'd be great to have that out. Page 16, I think that Isaiah passage is on, and we're just going to look at those two verses. So Isaiah chapter 9, starting from verse 6, says, "For a child will be born for us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders." Now, notice straight away one thing that's really easy to miss if you read it quickly. A child will be born for us. A son will be given to us. Christmas tells me that whatever else is going on, God cares about me. He cares about me and he cares about you. And we can know that's true because he sent Jesus to us and for us. You might be here today and you're totally indifferent towards God. But God is not indifferent to you. And you can know that for a fact, because historical fact, Jesus came into the world, sent from God, and he came for us. But then you ask, well, what's the meaning of Jesus coming? In what way did he come to us and for us? And this passage in front of us tells us two things. Two things about finding peace at Christmas. The first thing is that it tells us that God, that Jesus is God's chosen king come to make the world right. He's God's chosen king and he's come to make the world right. Look with me, keep reading from verse 7 of that Isaiah passage. Verse 7, it says, "The dominion will be vast and its prosperity will never end. He will reign on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and sustain it with justice and righteousness from now on and forever. The zeal of the Lord of armies will accomplish this." We see that Jesus is God's chosen king come to make the world right. Sometimes at this time of year, it can feel like everything's right in the world. Even with all the stress that surrounds us, you can have little pockets of paradise. Like you get the family around, the barbecue's going, the Aussies are winning the cricket. It can just feel fantastic. You've managed to tie up work nice and neat so you feel like you can relax. You're on the beach, the kids are getting along. Everything feels right in the world and you can just finally exhale and just breathe. But then you don't need to scratch too far under the surface to be reminded that everything's not okay. Family tension, financial stress, another year of unfulfilled goals or hopes or longings, loss and grief that can feel like it'll suffocate you if you let it. We live in a world where things aren't how they should be. And even further away from us, but no less real, still a war in Ukraine, still a war in Gaza, still injustice in our own country, in our own communities. Our world isn't what it's meant to be. And you know, the Bible agrees with that assessment. The Bible agrees that things need to be put right. And the prophecy here tells us that Jesus has come to be the one to put everything right. Verse 7, his dominion, his kingship will be vast. Its prosperity will never end. The peace will go on forever. When it talks about David's throne and David's kingdom, it's just speaking about a promise that God made in the past that someone would rule and make everything right again. Someone would reign forever. And here we see that Jesus is the one who reigns with justice and righteousness, and he will do that forever. That he's the one to put everything right. He'll bring lasting peace. We heard in that second reading from Luke 1 that I know you're all listening to so intently, we heard that even before Jesus was born, he was announced as this promised king come into the world. And if you keep reading along in about Jesus' life in the Bible, you see that he himself talks about himself as this king come to put everything right. You see him reacts, he reacts against injustice. He calls out hypocrisy. He heals people. He helps people. He always lives well. And yet, his life is shaped in the direction of his death at the cross. And the Bible says that in his death and resurrection from the dead, he has won a victory over that wrongness in the world that we all feel. Because what's wrong with the world isn't just outside of us. It's also inside us as well. It's the fact that each of us has rejected God as our rightful ruler. The creation has rebelled against the Creator. And so things are broken. The order of things, the way things should be, is distorted. It's cracked. And so things aren't right. They're not how they should be. And in Jesus, God has acted decisively to turn things around. Jesus' life and death and resurrection show him to be Lord of all. This is the Christmas message, that Jesus has come to be ruler of the world. That the baby in the manger is the Lord of me and you. And there will be a time when he comes and he puts everything right, visibly, tangibly. But he reigns even now because of his resurrection from the dead. Even if not everybody sees it, even if not everybody recognizes it. It's sort of like a general or a king who wins a victory and wins a war. Back in the days before instant internet communication and things like that. The war is won. The king is the king. He's the victor. The king is in charge. And sure, the news is still filtering out and word is still getting around. And you don't see everything changing yet. You don't see that he's the king, but you better believe he's the king. Now, do you recognize Jesus as this king? Do you honor him as Lord? I reckon this prophecy touches on something uncomfortable for all of us, whether you come here and you're a churchgoer or whether you're just visiting today. Because at Christmas, it's nice. It's so nice to hear about carols and hear about Jesus in the manger. It's so nice to think about Jesus as a baby in the manger with the animals. It's all so lovely. But when we're told that he reigns as king forever and that his reign is everywhere and over everyone, including you and I, then that's uncomfortable. Because I'm confronted with the fact that in my heart of hearts, I don't want Jesus to be ruler over me. I don't want God to be in charge. I want to be in charge. I want to run my life. The Bible says that all of us are like that. We all naturally keep God at arm's length. Some of us might do it very deliberately. Often we just forget about him altogether. We accept all his good gifts. We accept his blessings. Sometimes we even ask for more. And then we say, thanks, but no thanks. I'll take it from here. I don't need you anymore. And so we put ourselves at odds with our Creator and the one who rules us. And maybe as you sit here, you know that that is how you could describe your life. That you don't live for God. Maybe you used to once upon a time. Maybe you grew up in and around this church. You came to all the activities. But slowly over time, you've just decided yourself away from all this Jesus stuff. Perhaps you're here and this is all new information for you. But I want to say this is a message for you as well. And tonight is an opportunity to embrace Jesus as Lord, the one come to make everything right again. It's a time to embrace it. The claim is that he's God's chosen king, sent to rule the world and make things right. That's point one. And point two, and it's the last one and it's a short one, is that Jesus came to make us right. Because even though we've rebelled against God, even though we have turned our back on him, God hasn't turned his back on us. And if you turn to Jesus as King, he's done everything to make us right with God. If you've got that passage open still, look with me at verse 6 again, the verse we started with. It says, "For a child will be born for us, a son will be given to us." Jesus came into the world for us. Jesus came to save us. Even though each of us have lived with God at arm's length, each of us have wanted nothing to do with him. Jesus' life and death and resurrection paid the price for that rebellion, paid the price for that sin. He is identified with us by becoming fully human, stepping into our reality and living a life we couldn't live and taking a punishment that we deserve. See, God's not like us. God's not like us. We have things that break or malfunction, and what do? We bin it and we get a new one. We have Christmas gifts that are a dud. We have faulty gifts that we receive, and what do? Well, we bin it and we get a refund or we get a replacement and we move on. But God loves you, and even if you've given up on him, he hasn't given up on you. And he has done the hard yards in Jesus to bring you back to himself. If you turn to Jesus as Lord and trust him for the forgiveness of your sins, then you can know real peace at Christmas. Peace with God. Forgiveness from him. Life how it was meant to be. Tonight is an opportunity for each of us to stop living like we're in charge and to trust Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. To stop being indifferent to God. To say to him, "I know I haven't lived rightly. Thank you for dying for me." This is what it means to be a Christian. Turning back, acknowledging Jesus, trusting that his death has dealt with your sins. This is how you start the Christian life, and this is how you continue it day after day. Because it's easy. It's easy to start trusting yourself. It's easy to think that you're good enough. It's easy to think that if you just pull yourself up by your bootstraps a bit and turn over a new leaf, then God will accept you. Then God will notice you. It's easy to think that we can save ourselves. But I want to invite all of us tonight to pause and to acknowledge that we aren't the Lord and we aren't our own saviors. That we aren't in charge and we can't save ourselves. And whether it's for the 1,000th time for you or whether it's for the very first time, I want to invite us to turn to God and acknowledge that fact and trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. And you can leave here tonight knowing real peace with God, real peace at Christmas. Why not make tonight the night that you take hold of that peace, that you take hold of that forgiveness? Maybe this is something that you haven't been sure about. Why don't you make tonight the night that you make sure? Jesus is the chosen King come to make things right. And Jesus has come to make us right. And so do you follow him? I want to lead us in prayer as we finish up this little bit. Please pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, thanks so much for sending the Lord Jesus. We thank you that he is the Lord, the King, come to make all things right again, to rule your world rightly. And we thank you that as we turn and acknowledge him as Lord, that he has done everything for us in his death and resurrection to bring us back to you. We pray that you would help each of us to know this personally. In Jesus' name, amen.